Welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the Scoliosis Experience podcast, where my aim is to empower individuals with scoliosis and movement professionals alike by providing free, up-to-date information on scoliosis management and treatment. My goal is to improve the quality of life for those with scoliosis and equip movement professionals with the knowledge and skills needed to effectively support them. Welcome back to Ahead of the Curve. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Teed. Today, I have a guest with me who is a chronic pain health coach, fellow scoliosis and spinal fusion warrior from Ontario, Canada. Her name is Agnes Shimzik. Welcome, Agnes.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you and hear about your story a little bit more. We were talking beforehand just a little bit, and I know some things that I've gathered through our Instagram interactions. I've loved seeing some of the things that you post and learning a few things about new things about chronic pain. But I'm looking forward to hearing more of your story, how you got into doing what you're doing now. So, can you just start off by telling us a little bit about your scoli story and, you know, kind of how it led to where you are today?
Yeah. So my story started when, well, thinking back, it's a long time ago, over 3 years ago. When I was 15, I was diagnosed with scoliosis. I had a surgery a year after because that was the best option at that time. You know, I selected the surgery versus the brace because at that time, you know, I was told I will end up having surgery anyway. I never experienced any pain before the surgery. I, you know, the scoliosis didn't bother me. I was a regular teenager, not really understanding what's, you know, what's happening, what it means. There was nobody else that I knew of that had scoliosis in my town. I lived in a very small town. And, you know, it wasn't until I was in my 30s that actually I started experiencing pain, and that pain would just occur more often. It was in my lower back. And, you know, I led a very busy, demanding job. I was busy running with kids from activities to activities, never really did anything about it, never bothered to exercise or even think that, you know, I should be thinking about my back, or like from even like strength perspective. I'm not even like talking about, you know, I did went to the physios for the chronic pain. I've seen a lot of different specialists over the years, spent a lot of money in a typical, you know, fashion as we do when we experience pain. But never really did anything in terms of strength training or even like understanding how the body works. What are the things we can do for ourselves to really take care of our body and ourselves in a loving way? And it wasn't until between my second and my third daughter that chronic pain started, you know, I started experiencing it almost weekly, and then it turned into debilitating pain when my youngest was just a toddler and I ended up in bed on another round of, you know, anti-inflammatories, Tylenol 3 at that time, getting depressed from using that Tylenol 3. Googling all the practitioners, scoliosis, spinal fusion, trying to reach out within Canada, who knows something about it, because I didn't know anybody else at that time who had scoliosis or a spinal fusion. You know, over the years, as I was, you know, experiencing the pain, it never occurred to me to start looking for community or start looking for other people who experience something like that. So, you know, spending that week in bed with depression, I kind of come to the realization there has to be a better way out. Like, there has to be a way out of it. Like, no way, you know, being in the just early 40s, this is like, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of the life. At that time, I found a practitioner who referred me to orthopedic surgeon here in Canada, one of the top orthopedic surgeons in my area. And, you know, I was told that there were two ways really for me to break the pain cycle. the cortisol shots, which I've been told, because of my spinal fusion, there wasn't a lot of places that will even take me as a client because of the risk, or full spinal fusion surgery, which wasn't something that I wanted to do because of the, quality of life impact. Thankfully, the age we are in, I started Googling and started looking for different alternatives. And that's what led me to really starting to explore the chronic pain more from mind body perspective and looking at body holistically, learning how I can support my body, from a whole nutrition, anti-inflammatory perspective, looking at the lifestyle factors that impact our life that, when I did that self-assessment, I wasn't at that time even meeting one of those criteria. I was somebody who, who drank five coffees a day, not ever thinking about, hydration or fascia or how that may even mean that I just feel stiffer in the morning, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Can I interrupt here and just kind of backtrack a little bit, just out
Yes.
of curiosity, about your experience with some things?
Yes.
We have a lot of women who either have scoliosis, have had spinal fusion. They're not mothers yet, but this is something in their mind that they're considering doing in the future. And there's a lot of fear surrounding that. And it sounds like you more or less kind of breezily went through your pregnancy and delivery. Can you like share your experience about that a little bit?
Amazing question. So I actually did really well with my first one, which all my kids are 9 years apart, and there's reason to this madness. My first one, I was in my 20s, so obviously that one was easy breezy. Like, I did not think. My second one, because she was 8 pounds, she was a heavier baby for me. I started experiencing like lower back pain, but that wasn't, as challenging. And the third one, was my most challenging, pregnancy. I actually ended up on a sick leave from work at 3 months pregnant. And, going back, if I knew about the mind-body approach, I would definitely apply that work at that time. I didn't know. And there was nobody that would take me being 3, 4 months pregnant who would even want to see me to assess me properly. So I was just under care of my like OBG who didn't know what to do with me. So they
Right.
just, put me on a leave and they said,
Just
don't
rest.
move. Just rest. What I did though is at that time, I got a private yoga instructor who did things very gently and slowly with me. And I did hypnobirthing. I don't know if you've heard. It's more like a mindfulness method with some movements. I had some other complications with that pregnancy where my youngest at that time, she was breached 2 weeks before I was due. And I was told because of my fusion, they couldn't do epidural. So that means like you gotta keep, they were trying to figure out what to do with me. So hypnobirthing helped me at that time because they had specific exercises for how to, in a gentle way, help the baby to move. And I've applied all the methods. So that's, thinking back, it should clue in. There's like mind component to everything we do and to everything within our body. But somehow I went to being busy mom after that.
Wow, yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's helpful for people to understand and hear your experience and know that it's possible to go through that and
It
successfully
is.
children. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And for me, I had to have all of the birds natural. Like there wasn't anything except morphine that I was able to get because of my fusion. I was assessed as a high risk for the hospitals over here. They told me, oh, you can get morphine. And from that perspective, like I've done my research into the risks and what that would mean for the baby. So that wasn't something I was comfortable with
Yeah.
taking, but yeah. But it's totally doable. I do believe, and I do, I did practice like a lot of mindfulness, so like that hypnobirthing birthing babies. That is like a mindfulness method with actions and with, specific steps. So I do believe that helped me
Yeah,
a lot.
absolutely. Yeah, that's powerful to understand. So after you were on your sorry, no, I lost my train of thought. So you were experiencing the chronic pain and you were determined to figure a way out of that chronic pain. What kind of came next in your journey with that?
Yeah, so I first actually approached that from more anti-inflammatory perspective. So I went and I completed studies at integrative nutrition school. So that includes both like nutrition component as well as lifestyle component. So that helped me understand how, the way I was leading my life wasn't really supportive of, of my body, not only my body, of like what I really wanted to do. Like I was always high achiever, very busy at both work and home, never, took a second to decompress, to de-stress. So that was my first step, and that helped a lot, but I found it didn't take me all the way out of the pain. So my second thing that I did is I started working with Pain Psychology Center out of the States, and that was funded by Alan Gordon. I started working with them and applying their, techniques. And I loved it so much I got certified, and that's, that's what I do now.
That's amazing. And that's powerful for you because your clients that you work with, they can relate to you. You can relate to them very well. I find that kind of with what I do as well, having experienced scoliosis myself, that just kind of gives you another layer of
It does. It does. Yes, I hear stories about, not being able to get up from bed, go to the bathroom, and I'm like, I remember those days. I remember how it was difficult. Like my lowest point for me was, when my youngest started walking, I couldn't pick her up and she was a baby. So for her to like get a hug from me, she had to come in when I was lying down on a sofa on the side. I would hug her because she couldn't even sit on my knees because I had this, I was in pain. So obviously you sit on my knees, on my lap. You think the pain will be like, you know what I mean? You are afraid, all these different emotions and feeling come in. And now being, she's being almost nine, I can just pick her up. And anytime I do that, she's like, she wants everybody to stop in the house because mommy's picking her up because she still has those memories where I just couldn't do it for the longest time, right?
Gosh, that's so sweet.
Yes, little, announcement, and let's look, mama can pick me up.
Yeah. Oh, why do you think that it is so hard for people who have a condition like scoliosis to overcome their chronic pain?
So part of it, I think, is when we go and when we get, when we get assessed, we hear all these big buzzwords and they seem scary. So we either being told we have degenerative disc disease, and like, even for me, when I say it, oh my goodness, it's like something serious, right? And it's just, I think it's, there's still a lot we can do in terms of, promoting and talking about the brain and brain's role, how we create the thoughts and that story, right? That is behind our thoughts. Because our brains are so powerful. And, soon as we have these big words, the diagnosis, we just, it will run with it,
Yeah.
right? So I feel part of it is that, part of it is really looking at the whole body holistically, and there's still work we can do, when it comes to the medical field in terms of everybody understanding that a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different elements and ways that you can tackle pain. So it doesn't have to look one way to help somebody. What has helped you the most? So if you could pull like one or two elements from what you learned at that school, what are the one or two biggest things that helped you the most?
Yeah, so I loved sharing that story after that fourth car accident because I find it is so powerful. And I think that brings really, you know, when you in that moment when you have to use something, this is what I did. And I think anybody can relate it. So as soon as we were hit from behind, I did like a CPR on myself. There were two components, and I love calling it CPR because literally that's how I felt in that moment. Because of that story, you know, you can be in the car accident because with your back, like it's like the worst thing that can happen to you. So my CPR was twofold. The first piece was really sending myself messages of safety. So in my head, just telling myself, you are safe, nothing happened. Your car was just touched from behind. You'll be okay. You'll walk out of it with no impact. And the second thing I did, because realizing after all we were in car accident, I'm not dismissing that, is anytime you know something big happens, our body will, as it should, just create a bit of inflammation for our body to hold with it. So I've, you know, very simple anti-inflammatory protocol that I did. You know, that day I just rested a little bit more. I just let my body relax a little bit more. I, you know, just simple things. I hydrated it a little bit more because we want, you know, the things moving, even the emotions that are get stuck with it. You know, we don't think about water helping, but it does help with, you know, with that movement. So I
Yeah,
feel these two things that I've kind of learned, like applying the different skills in a very simple way. Anyone can do that. Just sending, you know, the messages of safety and thinking, what are the good things I can do for myself at this moment versus rushing in and going about the life and not letting that, you know, whatever happened, not processing that.
process. Yeah. So how, what do you do now? What does it look like, you know, as far as your business goes? How do you help people? How does that all work?
Yeah. So I work in a very small container with, you know, limited number of clients because I've kind of learned my lesson in life with having a history of burnout too. Yeah, and I really focus on, you know, on clients with who have that burning desire to get better, and who are looking for that one-on-one help. A lot of times, you know, that session may look different for everybody. I kind of meet the client where they are. Some of the clients start more on anti-inflammatory, on that lifestyle, what that, you know, what are the supporting lifestyle choices that I can make every day to support the, you know, the brain processing work that we're doing. Yeah, it's
Yeah, that's
amazing. It's amazing. I love doing what I do. I literally, most of the time, I feel like going on the rooftops and screaming like there's no reason to be in pain.
it's so true. How long do you generally work with people? Is there a big range, or is there like kind of like a set, you know, roadmap that people follow? I know that everyone's
Yes.
healing and recovery
Yeah.
is different, but I'm
Yeah.
just.
It is. So, you know, it really depends on the client because. Oh, and on their belief, right, to heal. So, you know, depending where they are again, for some, it may just take a little bit longer if we have to also anchor that belief and, you know, reinforce it, right? You know, I some of my clients, they come in and we can apply right away the different steps. For some of the clients, you know, they know this is the work they have to, like intuitively, they know they'll come seeking this work, but that belief piece where, you know, but my doctor told me I have structural issues. Is my pain coming? So it's really working through, you know, these are the studies we know, you know, that just because we have a degenerative disease, it doesn't mean we have pain. It's, you know, based on studies, it's not one-to-one correspondence. So it really depends.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How can people find you and connect with you and learn more about what you do?
Yeah, they can find me on my website at thesimplebeautifulwellness.com. on Instagram at the same handle at the Simple Beautiful Wellness, and on Facebook under my name, Agnes Szymczak. Maybe I should spell it out.
We'll have that in the show notes.
Perfect.
People be able to copy and paste of me.
Because yes, I struggle with spelling out. I'm sorry. So if somebody would do, I would be like scribbling. I'm like, did you say S or Z or
That's challenging.
Yeah. Sometimes it's almost like, you're back at the elementary school where you have to like
Have to use like the, I don't know if you do the military spelling, but where you
My
like,
husband does. My husband does. Yes.
I mean,
Not for
that
me. Yeah, but it's just
works. Oh,
not.
my last question for you, and what I like to ask people that I interview, what are you doing in your life right now that is ahead of the curve? That's the name of the podcast. So, like, is there a book that you're reading that other people should know about, or something that you're listening to?
Yes. Can I reach out? Give me a second. It's an amazing book. I'm just.
Sorry, I put you on the spot. Mm-hmm.
No. But I read books. So there's actually, if I can add two. So if anybody's interested in pain reprocessing therapy, The Way Out by Alan Gordon, I recommend to everybody who's talking to me. But this book is amazing. The Mountain Is You. It actually goes into brain and how our thoughts can impact our lives and limiting beliefs, and then the work you can do on your own. It's very simple to follow, very easy steps. Highly recommend. All of my clients will be getting
Yes,
this.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with you with us, and sharing your story with us. It was awesome getting to connect
Thank
and
you.
know you a little bit more. So, thank you everybody who's been tuning in. Until next time, stay well and stay ahead of the curve.